this morning, who can be against us? In other words, if God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because I'm not losing. Come on and say, man, I'm going to attain whatever it is that God has for me if God is on my side. Yes. Better yet, I need to be on God's side. Because if I'm on his side, then I got victory. If I'm on his side, I'll never be defeated. If I'm on his side, I'm more than a conqueror. If I'm on his side, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. They said that once this man came to Abraham Lincoln, and he told him, he said, in the time of the Civil War, he said that I hope that we can win. I hope that we win, and I pray that we win. And Abraham Lincoln said, yeah, me too. He said, well, if God is on our side, then we will. And Abraham Lincoln said, I hope that we're on God's side. Huh? That's the way we need to be. We need to be on God's side. And whatever God wants to do, whatever he wants to do in this season, Lord, don't do it without me. Wish I had somebody. He says, then let's go back to the scripture. He says, and he found them sleep a third time, and their eyes were so heavy. You know how your eyes get heavy. You can't hold them open like some of y'all right now. Some of y'all sleepy in here right now. Your eyes get so heavy. And he left them and went away. He didn't even say nothing to them this time. He just let them sleep. He didn't even bother them. He just let them sleep this time. He went away to pray. And he said, it's okay. And he tells them now in verse number 45, he said, he cometh to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, the hand of him that doth betray me. And so we look at this now. After he has went into the garden, the place of pressure, and he found himself petitioning God and his Father in prayer, his intimacy with God, he showed it by saying daddy or by father, old father. And he's now in a place where he finds that the purpose of God is more important than any pleasure. He finds that the priorities of God are more important than anything else. Come on and say amen. Because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. At some point in our life, when we are under pressure, we need to say, Lord, if this pressure is not moving, then whatever your will is for me, I know that the outcome is going to work for my good. Come on and say amen. We need to know that when we pray to God, that we have prioritized now and say, Lord, it's not how I feel and what I think about this thing, is how you want this thing to go down. I wish I had somebody. Lord, it's not how I want this thing to work out for my good, but Lord, whatever your purpose is, I don't know how you're going to work it out, and I don't know what you're going to get out of it, but Lord, I'm willing to let you get all you can get out of this little life of mine. Do I have anybody here? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Notice that it was just a cup. He said, let this cup pass from me. Sometimes we stare at the cup and we wonder about the cup, and all you got to do is drink the cup and get this thing over with, and trust that God said, if you drink in the deadly.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Would you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? You'll turn them to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to hear your word and to receive instruction and inspiration. Now let the Holy Ghost guide us through the text and teach us from the text. Let him tell the truth to each of us so that you, God, will reach us right where we are.
Yes.
And then minister to us there and then lift us to the place you'll have us to be for your glory, and our good.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Matthew chapter 26, we want to commence reading at verse 36. Matthew 26 and 36 reads, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right. The word says in verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I just want to investigate how to go further when things seem as if they can't get any worse. I mean, this is a situation Jesus was put in that tested both his humanity and his deity. And if it just didn't seem like things could get worse, Jesus and all of these things that interplayed around him and within him surfaces through the text. And I just want us to look at that because he is our model. And as we investigate scripture, it'll strengthen us for our journey and for the situations that we have to deal with. And so when we look at these principles and practice them, we can also profit from them. Look at what the word says in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them. First of all, them refer to the disciples. They had just had the Lord's Supper, the Passover celebration, and Jesus is now taking it to another level. He is in preparation of the enemy coming and betraying him. He recognized and realized at the table when Judas was excused that he was on his way then to put into motion the situation that would bring the betrayal to a climax. And so when Jesus had finished the supper, he takes the disciples with him to the place called Gethsemane. Now, notice what the word says. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. First thing you need to know is if you're going to go further, and especially as it relates to things that become as grave as this situation, you've got to consider the folk you fellowship with. Consider the folk you fellowship with. Or consider your friends, however you want to look at it.
Yes.
Because you're going to recognize that everybody can't go where you're trying to get to.
Yes.
You have got to be able to judge character, and based upon the relationship and the fellowship that you've had with your friends or those of associates, you've got to know who it is that can go a little further with you. You've got to know everybody can't go. So he comes down, there are 11 disciples. Judas has gone already, so he's not included in this number. But then, out of the 11, he only takes 3 with him because he recognizes all of the rest could not come where Jesus was going. So look at what the next verse says. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, notice the word makes clear. He's grieved and he's deeply distressed. And so he limits now those in his circle, in his fellowship, in his friendship, because he recognizes that these are more connected to him in the way that will help him achieve what he's trying to achieve in terms of his focus and those things that are yet to come. So he drops the number down to just 3. Notice here now, and he selected those 3. So I got to tell you, when you're about to come up against some stuff, you need to be able to know who you can call on. I need you to come a little further with me here. Now notice here, after he selects those of his fellowship now, and he has dwindled the number down to 3, the word makes clear that secondly, he considers his focus. How does he consider his focus? Look at what the word says, verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, the focus, after he has gotten the friends and those in his fellowship down to the number that's manageable, those numbers that he believes are the persons who are most sincere, he now begins to focus on the task that is at hand. He becomes so sorrowful, the word says, that it's paining him in verse 38 when he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Now, as he focuses on his task, as he has limited his friends and his fellowship, he recognizes there's something else. That when you then cut the number down of all those who are just there for the ride. And then you bring the number down to a manageable number, those who've experienced more intimate matters, more serious and grave matters with you. And then he recognizes even some of them can't go where you need to go. So notice here what the text says. The text says, again, verse 39. It says, well, verse 30, let me finish that. He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Now look at what he tells the three. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now at the beginning of the garden, there they all are, all 11 of them. He chooses the three from the 11 and he tells the rest of them, you stay right here. He takes the three and he walks them a little further into the garden. And he's talking with them as he's walking them further in the garden, separating and these from the beginning and those who will be the ones that he will still deal with while he's going through the process of moving farther. And yet he tells them, now you need to stay here, but now I'm going to assign something to you. Now he gives them something to do that he didn't give the others to do. The first group, he said, y'all just wait here. Just wait, don't do nothing, just stay here. He takes the three, he says, now you come on a little further. Now what I want you to do is wait here, tarry here, but I want you to watch with me. Now, listen at this now. He takes them a little farther with him and he gives to them a little more responsibility. He's entrusting that all they've got to do is watch. Now, you know what watch mean?
That's right.
Just look.
That's right.
That's all I want you to do. Now, this is the reason. Jesus knew that Judas
already knew.
And the gang were coming for him. Jesus said, I just need time to connect with heaven. I just need to be in a place where I've got some folk circling me and watching for me so that I can get a prayer through. Because if I get a prayer through, I know everything's going to be all right. All their job was to watch. Listen, now I want you to see something. And the verse says in verse 39, and he went a little farther. Which meant that he went even beyond those that were covering him as to watch for him so that he could pray and enter into that spiritual space that was necessary to empower him for what he was to face. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. Now, I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's something else that literally leaps from the page of Holy Writ when we look through this. First of all, Jesus is full of faith.
Yeah.
But you're going to see that you must have faith in order to be faithful. He's calling also on the faith, and you'll see this in a further viewing of Scripture, of the faith of the folk who followed.
Yeah.
Now, something is wrong if a man of faith is going to call folk to follow him that don't have faith. Now, listen to this. Jesus, however, was wise enough to call them to follow him and assign them with a job that was commensurate with their faith. All he had faith in them to do was to watch. They can do that. Because there are some things you can't trust to nobody else. But that was something he knew they could do. But look again, you're going to see. Now Jesus has connected again with the focus. And what was the focus here? He was considering his fate. F-A-T-E. And he had F-A-I-T-H in order to consider his F-A-T-E, his fate, his end, his demise, his problem, his situation, his dilemma. And so now, look at the word. He prays, the Bible says, saying, oh, my Father. Now, remember when he taught the disciples how to pray, he said, say, our Father. But this wasn't no we prayer here. This was a me prayer. And that reaches a place, my brothers and sisters, you got to know how to call him up for.
It's all right to have Pastor and Peter and James and John, but that reaches a time in your life when you got to say, listen at him now. Listen at him. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now you got to understand why he's even praying like this. First of all, this conversation is a continuation of him understanding the plan before he ever got to planet Earth, when he and his father had arranged it and had designed it while he was yet up in heaven. He's saying, Lord, I'm just wondering, can we rearrange the plans? I know we talked about this thing when I was up in heaven. I'm just wondering, is it possible? Are y'all hearing me here? I mean, he was already up there, but he was slain before the foundation of the world were ever put in order and in place. He knew this conversation. This ain't no new thing to him. He's just remembering the plans and wondering, is there a chance that they can be altered without the outcome being altered? If it be possible, I'm just wondering. Let this cup pass from me. And again, as we have stated so many times, the cup represents every sin and every satanic power and authority and issue and everything concerning with the penalty and the problems and all of the things of mankind in that cup. It is literally the poison of this world in that cup. It was a very bitter cup. Can you imagine all of the poisons of the world being poured in one cup? And he has to drink from that cup. Can you understand how deep this thing is? I mean, Jesus is dealing with the flesh and the spirit. The spirit, listen, is what he is connecting with his father in this conversation with, because he knows it's going to have to be a spiritual strength to give him the power to do in the flesh what he has been assigned to do. So now as you look at this, and he's looking at this cup and it's bubbling up with all of the poisons in the world. Oh, my Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, give me an alternate route. Give me a substitute for this cup.
Awesome God.
That will give you the same gratification in knowing that the price is paid. He says, but if not, your will be done. Now, I keep telling you, and I want you to see that there is the fight going on between the flesh and the spirit. And if Jesus had to struggle with that issue, don't think that you are above and beyond him. Don't think that you get so holy that you don't have a struggle with the flesh. Don't get so holier than thou where you get to the point where you think that the flesh won't interfere with the situations of your spirit, and you've got to pray to ask God to give you strength to overcome the flesh, because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Let me just take a survey, because y'all looking kind of strange at me. How many of you, every now and then, your flesh get weak? I don't care what the weakness is, it gets weak. All right. The flesh gets weak. And the only thing that can give your flesh strength, or re-strengthen your flesh, or re-fortify your flesh, I don't care what it is, listen to this, and this is revelation for somebody. I don't care how weak your flesh is. I don't care what you've got to do. I promise you, if you take some time in your flesh and begin to pray on that situation, in that situation, don't make another step, don't move, don't say another word about nothing, just go into prayer. I promise you, the Spirit of God will come and strengthen that flesh so that you'll be able to accomplish what you need to do. Some of you, I'm going to take it light here. Some of you might be, you know, I know I ain't supposed to have this other piece of cake here. It's calling my name, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm just not going to eat. I need your strength right now to curb my appetite. I'm not going to eat. Y'all. I'm trying to keep it light for you. But I promise you, if you invoke the power of the Spirit of God and focus on the fact that you're not supposed to have it and do it, God will strengthen that weak flesh so you won't even want to. And even look, even if you still want it, he'll give you power to push it away or you to walk away. And so occupy you so you don't even worry about that no more. Well, listen, the flesh is weak. Jesus knew that. So he deals with his fate, F-A-T-E. Because one of the things about faith, F-A-I-T-H, is that when you recognize your assignment, and when you recognize your anointing, and when you recognize that you're on one accord with God the Father, you ain't worried about
that's
your
right,
fate.
That's right.
You're not worried about the evil or the demise that is before you, because greater is he that is in you. Greater is the will of God for you. And it is God's position and pleasure to empower you to accomplish what he's called you to do. And Jesus was connecting with the spiritual realm so that he would be empowered in the natural realm to do what he already knew he had to do. I want to say again, it's not enough to know what you got to do. He knew what he had to do, but he had to pray for more strength when it came time for him to do it. So it's not just enough to know the will of God for your life. You've got to have power to enact the will of God for your life. Yes, Lord, I know the direction I'm supposed to go, but I need some power to walk in that direction. Yes, Lord, you've opened up the door, but I need strength to go through that door. It's not just enough to know it. You need power to flow through it. Now look again at what the word says. Word says, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what could ye, you, not watch with me 1 hour? Listen at this. He tells him, because now Jesus focuses on Peter's flesh, his flesh. He doesn't really have, now listen at this, he doesn't really have a faith problem. He has a flesh problem. Now you might say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? He doesn't have a faith problem, he has a flesh problem. His problem wasn't that he wasn't watching.
Right.
He was watching, but his flesh got sleepy.
All right.
How many of you taken your Bible and you started reading in bed? It's a flesh problem. Your eyes got sleepy and you just, didn't I just read this? And trying to comprehend and fight the flesh, you go back and read that same line 5 times. Till you finally just put the Bible down. Flesh. Jesus acknowledges that.
Yes.
It's not a faith issue. Nothing wrong with your spirit, it's your flesh. And we've got to be careful to understand the power of the flesh. And only the power of the spirit can overcome. Well, what do you need to do to be able to overcome the flesh? I'm glad you asked. Look, it's right in the word. Verse 41. Watch and pray. Now he gives him more responsibility. He says, since you can't just watch, I'm going to give you something to do while you watch. And look at what he says now. Watch and pray. Why? Now. See, Jesus is really not getting here. He's watching for him, but he's praying for himself. Are you listening? Jesus said, I want you to watch for me, but I want you to pray for yourself. Look at what the word says. Watch and pray that ye, you enter not into temptation. What was the temptation? Can anybody tell me?
To sleep.
Listen, temptation is not always a moral issue. His temptation was to go to sleep. Wait a minute, it's quiet, everything. Maybe the mother, two of them brothers there be keeping watch. I'm going to just sit like I'm looking. I'm going to check my eyelids for leaks. And hopefully, sleep will overtake me. So he says, if you are praying while you are watching, you won't be tempted to go to sleep.
Amen.
Listen again, that ye enter not into temptation. Now look at what Jesus